will he continue to be like a jelly on that plate? The wibble wobble jelly on a plate.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
So, that was a please explain moment.
In the meantime, every 3 months, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
Tell me about it, Steph.
Yes, it's time for Let's Get Quizzical. And on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, you've been listening to that all week, haven't you? And just then, in our regular segment, The Wrap, we thought we'd lace tonight's quiz with a little, well, let's just get a sense.
Intergalactic Planetary!
Yes, and I'm joined by two very special guests. Dr. Brad Tucker is an astrophysicist and cosmologist based at the ANU's Mount Stromlo Observatory in Canberra. And all the way from California, a Mars geologist at NASA, Abigail Freeman. Welcome. Hello and welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, how's it going?
Well, it's exciting because you're both here. The rules are pretty simple to this game. I decide points. There is gravity, but there are no buzzers. There is gravity, though. You know, we're on Earth. Let's get a grip. There are no prizes. We can't afford prizes. But if you win, you get to call the other guy a space cadet. So here we go.
All right.
Round one is the moon landing. And this one's to you, Brad. I've got a famous piece of audio for you, but we've chopped something off the end, okay? We're messing with this.
Okay,
have a listen to this, and then I'll ask you what comes next and who said it.
All right.
Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Mode control, both auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in. Swifton, Tranquility Base here.
Brad, what comes next?
The Eagle has landed.
Oh, wow. Let's hear it.
Swifton, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
You are a space nerd. Okay, Abigail, which we knew. We kind of set that up, didn't we? Abigail, your turn. Here's your famous piece of audio, again, delivered by Neil Armstrong.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
So how is that famous line recorded in the official NASA transcript of the moon landing?
So I believe it's a little controversial. I believe it's supposed to be that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind.
You are, of course, correct, Amundo.
Yeah.
All right. I have a bonus question. Now, the way this works, best to explain to people, is that I ask you both, and whoever answers first just gets a point.
All righty.
We good with this?
Space is all about competition.
Good. Well, isn't it ever? Competitive industry. Although, you know what? I wonder if it's just like, you know, the strongest among us, the people who are the most fearless among us. It's completely does my head in, the idea of people go. Anyway, I'm really obviously very scared of spaceship. The names Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are well known for being the first men on the moon. Who was the other member of the Apollo 11 crew, and what was their job?
I think we both know this one. I'll go with Michael.
Collins, and he was the command module.
Pilot.
Wow. So you're going to get a point each, which means you're on two each, which means you're neck and neck.
Teamwork.
And which also means this is very exciting because there is no clear winner yet. Round two. And this one is on the theme of televising the moon landing. 600 million people watched the moon landing. Wow. And can you imagine how many times they've watched it just this week alone? 1/5 of the world's population at the time, which is quite something. Now, Brad, without telling me their roles in televising the moon landing, name the three tracking stations that received the broadcast.
So, can I be technical, in Australia or overall in the world?
World.
Okay. Well, so we have Honeysuckle Creek.
Yeah.
We have Honeysuckle Creek. We have Tidbinbilla. And we have parks, but also Goldstone was receiving data. It was just upside down, so we won't count California.
Okay. This is like, you know so much. I haven't tricked you once.
Well, a fun fact, we were just seeing the actual switch that the Honeysuckle Creek operator had to flip to actually get it the right way up, which California forgot to do.
Just forgot to do. How can you forget to do that? They do get too excited. I'm like, this is so exciting. I forgot to do this.
Yeah, I guess we were both surprised by it. And so now in the Tidmanville Visitor Center, you can see the switch that Australia remembered to flip to get the signal the right way up.
You know, when there's 600 million people watching, it's understandable you might be a little bit nervous and forget just, you know, a small but very important detail.
Oh, wow. Incredible stuff. All right, Brad, you're on 3. Abigail, you're on 2 points. And just out of interest, were you guys actually around when the moon landed?
So, no, I wasn't. I was at minus 17 years, I think.
That is very specific. You were minus. Sorry. You're in minus territory. Abigail?
Yeah, gosh, I would have been at minus 18. Yeah.
It's 2019, right? I keep forgetting the year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
why does that happen? I remember never forgetting the year, and always, all of a sudden, this year, I have like about 4 times forgotten the year. Is that a thing that happens as you kind of age? Anyway, text us in and tell me, because I've noticed this and it disturbs me every time. All right, Abigail, this one's for you.
To broadcast
Neil Armstrong's Small Step, NASA Mission Control switched from the tracking station in California to one of the above two in Australia. So, Abigail, your question is also kind of triple-barreled. Sorry. Why did they switch? Which Aussie station took the pictures first? And how long did it broadcast before the other Aussie station took over?
I actually think I know this, but we'll see. So I believe they switched because the feed at NASA and Goldstone was coming in both upside down and had very bad contrast. So the blacks were two blacks and the whites were two whites. The station in Honeysuckle had it just right. And when the NASA in Houston, the person in charge of picking which station, saw the three that were available, he picked Australia, he picked Honeysuckle. And I believe it was 8 minutes of broadcast.
Yeah.
Well done. We're getting all sciencey here.
Well, that's why we invited you, but you're on 3 points each. My executive producer says this is outrageous because we have people who are too smart. We need to book people who aren't as smart onto this show because this is you're killing me here. All right, bonus question. You know how this works, whoever answers first. And, you know, I'm loving how collaborative you are, but maybe you could try and compete a little more rather than collaborating to answer together as if it's kindergarten. All right. Here's a cheeky bonus question. Which Australian Prime Minister was Minister for Education and Science at the time?
So I'm going to have the best guess. I think we might both not know this. I apologize. Is it John Gorton?
Wrong.
So can we keep playing that? Because that didn't. We can barely ever play that sound for these guys, and I really enjoy hearing it. Yeah. So we often hear that more often in this segment.
And people have a right to hear it a bit.
There it is. Yeah.
All right.
No. Anyone else want to have a go?
I have zero idea. I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
Or was it play it again.
Or was it Whitlam?
No. It was Malcolm Fraser.
It's not Fraser, but it's okay.
NASA sent a message of thanks to Fraser, commending Australia and the CSIRO's role in televising the moon landing. We got a thank you because we deserved it because we put out good stuff and it wasn't upside down.
That's right.
Nothing upside down happens here apart from some things happen upside down, but not this. All right,
like Brad, the moon, but that's another story.
Oh, whatever, whatever. The moon is fantastic from all angles in Australia.
Agreed.
Look, Brad, you're on 3. Abigail, you're on 3. You are genuinely neck and neck. So, you know, anything can happen. We've got, 9 minutes to the news? This is exciting. All right. This is round 3, the Apollo program. Brad, we're starting with you. Apollo missions 11 to 17 attempted moon landings between 1969 and 1972. All were successful except one. Can you tell me which one and why?
So Apollo 13, because they had an oxygen leak, which created a spark in the command module. And so they evacuated to the lunar module and served as a lifeboat, which was the training scenario for Apollo 8.
It was like, bonus. I got it there.
Beautifully explained. And I've just got this excellent text that says, Patricia, best quizzical ever. Boy, are they smart. Yes, they are. But that's okay because we like smart people. We like to surround ourselves with smart people, which is what we're doing here. Abigail, this is your turn. Australia nearly had one of our own walk on the moon during the Apollo program. What was that astronaut's name and why didn't they get there?
Oh, you know, I'm going to break the streak. I'm going to say I have no idea.
Yes, but there's a common theme in the streak when you break it, which is Australia. Which I don't mind. I'm just being ridiculous because you know everything, so I've got to find anything I can. No.
Sorry, don't know that one.
All right.
I knew Apollo 13, if that helps. Does not.
Was not about you, that question. All right, let's just hear some audio. This is why Glenn Nagel, I think, from Canberra's Deep Space Communication Complex has this answer. Here it is.
Dr. Philip Chapman was training as an Apollo Lunar Module pilot and could have potentially flown to the moon on Apollo 19 had his mission not been cancelled.
Unfortunate, isn't it, for us?
Yes, it was. You know, it was funny. In the car, we were actually talking about Australian astronauts, and I said, there's a third one who was part of this mission, and I always forget his name. At least Glenn saved us, who we were hanging out with this morning.
Yes, Dr. thanks very much.
Dr. Philip Chapman is his name, and let's just... No, give him a moment because that's still an accomplishment in and of itself. Pretty incredible stuff. All right, round four, we've helpfully called Name That Astronaut. Ooh. This one is an audio round, which is a smart idea on the radio. We think let's talk about, how not just talk about stuff, let's actually hear some stuff. We're about to play Name the Astronaut. So, Brad, this is your turn first.
Okay.
Name this.
Was that a chipmunk? What was that?
Cosmonaut.
I would have to say if it's a cosmonaut, I'm going to just go with Yuri Gagarin. It was really hard.
Mm-mm.
No, no, no.
I'm enjoying this too much. Sorry. Okay. All right.
See, you cursed us. You said we were getting it all right. Yeah. Now we're just falling apart.
Look, we've got a built-in system where things get harder. Look, we don't, but it just worked out that way. Valentina.
Abby just said it, actually.
Did she? She didn't say it in the microphone, though, which is not helpful for Abby.
Sorry.
Tereshkova, I think it is. Tereshkova.
Yes.
Yes. Valentina. She's just the first woman in space, right?
That's right.
Pretty significant, really, in and of itself.
Given it was, yes.
It was a bit of a boys' club, the old space program, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a lot of first EVA as well.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, so Russia also had the first spacewalk. Again, it was they beat Gemini 8 to the punch on that one.
I love all the competition in the space world. Now there's, talk of collaboration. I'm thinking, bring back a bit of competition where everyone was in a race. I love an old race. It means things happen. All right, Abigail, your turn. Name this astronaut.
Unfortunately, I was too young for Apollo and I'll be too old for the next round of moon exploration. But personally, I would like to see humans return to the moon.
Too young for Apollo, too old, wants to see humans return to the moon. I'm going to go Australian, perhaps. Maybe Dr. Andy Thomas?
Yeah.
You're right.
You're cheating. You were on a panel with him last night.
Yes, I got to meet him last night. He is so remarkable.
He's a delightful human being, isn't he, as well? He's not just remarkable because, clearly his accomplishments speak for themselves. He's actually quite a nice person.
He was. He just talked to about 400 kids about how to be an astronaut today, and they were super excited to meet him.
Yeah, pretty amazing life he's had. All right, round five. Firsts in space. Brad, this one's for you. We heard the voice of the first woman in space a little earlier, who was the first person in space. Who was the first person in space? This is the question. And in what year did they go?
Yuri Gagarin, 1961.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Abigail, this one's for you. Who was the first person to play golf on the moon and what club did they use?
Oh, gosh. Was it, it wasn't Alan Shepard, was it? No. Yes, we'll go Alan Shepard.
Well, I helped you a bit there, but well, you had it.
All right, and I know nothing about golf, so I'll name a club. Let's say a 9-iron. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
You got it right.
Oh. No. No. Oh.
He smuggled it aboard Apollo 14. He did it.
And if you want some fun audio, he gets into a fight with the moon rock lab guy, Everett Gibson, because he's moving moon rocks that he needs to catalog for his golf ball.
Incredible. Hey, guys, you're on 5 points each, which is a little conundrum for our segment. We've only got 2 minutes. Let's try and mess with this. Let's have one more audio round to see us home. Brad, okay. Who is this and what TV show is it from?
Second comes right after first.
Do you know?
Was that the audio clip? A second comes right after first.
Yeah, it was pretty short and pretty much you've been set up for failure there, haven't you? Here it is
again. Is that from Third Rock from the Sun, the show? No.
Let's hear the longer clip.
Hey, guys, look what I smuggled aboard.
Homer.
No. One of my favorite episodes.
Buzz Aldrin.
That's right, yes. We're Homer... Yes, I was picturing the scenario right now.
All right, let me give Abigail a question or we're going to run out of time. Here's a famous misquoted line from the movie Apollo 13.
Houston, we have a problem.
What was the historically correct wording used?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Houston, we had an incident?
Mm-mm-mm.
Houston, we have had a problem.
Oh, that is subtle.
Unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to just give that point to Brad, who stole it at the end.
No, he's earned it.
Which makes him the winner! Only by 1 point, because Abigail, you're on 5. In fact, I think it's fair to say you guys have been neck and neck. You clearly know about the same amount, if I can be fair. Thank you so much for coming on the show and geeking out with us. You have been delightful.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Brad Tucker is an astrophysicist and cosmologist from the ANU's Mount Stromlo Observatory in Canberra. Dr. Abigail Freeman is a Mars geologist at NASA. Yes, she's amazing.